Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 5th. Whoa. Joining us this morning is Assistant Police Chief for the City of Eureka, Brian Stevens. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay, I think.
It's Monday.
It's amazing, you know, sun's up, you know, as long as you're not sunburnt.
It's been a beautiful weekend for the weather, anyway.
Kind of. Oh, I see. A little foreshadowing of this morning's program. Okay, we can go with that. Are you ready for Why Do We Say It?
Yes, sir.
Actually, we've had a couple guests last week. So I don't... Okay. Chime in. Why do we say someone chimes in?
Yeah, I have no idea, Brian.
Well, before the 14th century, an unknown musician discovered that bells could be rung by striking them. Music produced in such a fashion came to be known as chimes, usually involving a simple melody repeated many times. Kind of like cable cars, I guess. Not in the 14th century. But after the first chord is struck, the other bells simply echo it. Conversations often resemble the chimes from a cathedral tower. A person of importance will give an opinion, and those who hear it will mumble agreement. Yes, officer. You bet you, officer. The resemblance between harmony from a bell tower and speech by anyone who echoes another's opinions causes us to say that such a person does little except to
chime in.
There you go. Amazing what you learn here, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the answers are so simple sometimes. I know. Which even makes me feel worse.
Yeah. Isn't that the sobering part? Oh, jeez, Louise. Hey, are you playing with the budgets at all, or is that does Todd do that? Do you guys have somebody on staff that's the budget ace?
All three.
Oh, okay.
So, we've completed our 2023-2024 budget. They had the public meeting the other day, and it'll go for council next Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, Miles was saying it sometime. It's the last meeting of the month.
Yeah, so
which I find kind of curious, because then if something goes sideways, you got zero wiggle room.
They try really hard to ensure that everything has been touched, crossed, dotted,
massaged,
ready to go,
played
by
with.
Then.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're good to go with our budget.
What's that process like?
So. We do have a staff member who is one of our police analysts, Brittany Powell, who is responsible for the budget, and so she takes
responsible for it.
Responsible for our budget.
Oh, I see. So you guys back away from the line there.
We're advisors to. Oh, you know, we all work together. You know, she's the expert in it.
How about team leader?
Yeah. she has direct contact with finance throughout the year as things come up. So she pulls like 2 years back. We look at trends as far as training. Some things just don't change. Finance deals with salaries and benefits, and they put all that stuff in our budget for us. But when you look at, you know, training, overtime, other expenses, canine expenses, what's that trend? And then we try to massage the budget in that year, coming up year, to meet whatever our needs are. So
I would suspect that there are challenges like with overtime. You get one or two good or significantly involved cases, and all of a sudden you're coming in on days off, or Officer Jones is sitting there in the courtroom waiting for things, and meanwhile you have to backfill, things of that nature. Is that as malleable as it would seem to be?
The everyday court, your cases where we have detectives called in, that's what we build our overtime budget around, is those types of activities. What has cost us the most, this especially the last couple of years, is all the vacancies we have. Filling vacancies because we don't have officers to fill spots on watches, that creates the most overtime. So our overtime budget seen a very sharp increase this year just due to being down 8 to 10 positions for a year. We have to backfill those certain positions. Now we've modified the shifts we're on now, or watches we're on. We've gone back to a 4-10-3-12, which allows us to have some overlap during the week, Monday through Thursday, and that's cutting down on some of our overtime, giving our officers the opportunity to get more work done at work, not have to stay over to work on things. So hopefully next year there will be a big decrease in the amount of overtime.
Are 312s safe?
Yeah, actually, we were on mandatory 12s for the last 18 months, almost 2 years, due to staffing. That was getting to be, we're seeing a high level of burnout and complacency and things that could cause issues for our employees. But it was a necessity to make sure we could meet the needs of the city and our staffing. Normally, 312s is very safe. They work 312s, and then 1 week a month they work one 410.
Do the catch up.
One 10-hour day to cover for training, or they go to training for 10 hours, and then that's it, and that does the catch up for them. So, you know, I like the schedule. I would rather have 410s across the board with two teams. There's a lot more training opportunities than that, but this schedule does allow those with families to have 4 days off during the week, minus court and stuff, because it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday is where the 12s are.
What was that little phrase in there? Minus court?
Minus court, yes, because that's you can't do anything about that. We have a job to do. We make arrests, and then we have to prosecute people, and that requires us to be in court on Monday through Friday. So,
is there any coordination with the courts? Is it that's really where it comes in, right? They're the ones that kind of schedule stuff. It's not working through the DA's office.
Well, yeah, the courts schedule the prelims and the court cases, and that's on the court calendar. But then the DA's office is responsible for looking at the cases. Who do they need to subpoena for the prelim versus who you would have to subpoena for a jury trial?
But they're not going to call one of you guys in on a day off.
All the time.
Oh, really? So it's not in the courts? It's for the subpoena?
Whatever day the court case gets scheduled, it's not always on a day you're working. So you'll get a subpoena for that.
So the courts are pulling that string, so to speak.
Yeah. There's no I got you. There's no coordination with the court saying, hey, what, you know, Chief Stevens works Monday through Friday. We're not going to schedule court on Saturday. It doesn't work that way.
Chief Stevens.
It doesn't work that way. So that is the
you don't have a name badge sitting around that we're not aware of
do you? No, but that is just the easiest way to say it is.
Okay.
So
I might be able to trip you up there a little bit, but apparently not.
No.
Okay, fine. But I think that's something a lot of folks are unaware of, is that you guys are being called in even if you have a day off. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't work.
Exactly.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19. We'll be back with more from Assistant Chief Steve.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with AC. I've been corrected. Stevens from Eureka Police Department. He's not an electrician. So as you guys are working budgets and trying to develop something that's close, you know, you'd never be 100%, but somewhat close that you feel comfortable with, the overtime area versus recruitment. We hear some really intriguing offers that are being made all over the place. Is that something that you guys are looking to try to implement, or is it more the bucolic area called Eureka? Where are you casting your nets these days to try to get the staff up and to maybe manage the overtime?
So we do have a $50,000 signing bonus right now for the city of Eureka. We not negotiated, but we had this conversation with city manager and finance, and any time that we get below or get above 5 vacancies, then we can fly that much money to try.
So it's like a trigger.
We have a trigger for it. So it's just not every time. So we have that out there that we're working on trying to pull laterals. Laterals are, you know, they come from another agency, they're already trained. And if they're not from out of state and we have to send them to the recert class, then they're on the street in 6 weeks and working as a full-time police officer.
But I would think the learning curve is significantly compressed if you're getting somebody who has an experience behind them.
Yeah.
Even if they're not here for that training period, when they hit, they're going to be almost
the equivalent of a two or ten. Just to locate. How do you find your way around Eureka? And then the way we write reports in our computer system. So,
what happened on H?
So we have that out there. We're working that aspect to try to draw people into the department.
Does that work? It seems like everybody's doing it.
And it's tough. It's not like we saw this rush of people. We got one person in backgrounds right now, and it's been out there for a month. So, you find the right person that's ready to move, and they're looking for the right agency to do it. Truly, that's what we want, because we want somebody that's going to last more than the 3 years, 4 years kind of thing.
Does that get any of the guys back who have left?
No.
So it's not a rebound. It's a first-timer.
Yeah, and you got to be gone first. A set period of time or some period of time.
Yeah, 2 weeks is called a vacation.
You can't just bounce back and forth between agencies and take signing bonuses. So, but we're also doing the recruit side of the house. We're still flying our recruit position each time about 3 months prior to the academy's opening, because there are people in our own community who are looking to get into law enforcement, but they can't afford to walk away from their jobs. They have families, they have other responsibilities, and we're able to then pay them to the academy. So we get probably some of our most loyal employees that way, because we're investing in you early.
And they see it.
And they feel it. And we bring them into the department about a month, hopefully, before the academy starts. So they start that inoculation or
indoctrination.
Indoctrination, thank you.
And hanging around.
They know who
DHHS
people are.
A little too much there, buddy.
They know who people are. They know where our resources are. And we got two ladies right now getting ready to go to the academy in July. One's a CSO for us. So she's been working, a community service officer. She's been working for us inside the agency. And this is her interest, and we're supporting her through that. And then one from a local business that's been wanting to get in law enforcement. So.
What about high school kids? Is that, with the graduation happening in the next little bit, is that an area, or Humboldt and CR with their stuff? Are those ripe for picking, or
college
not?
Students potentially? High school, not really, because you have to be 21 in the state of California to be a law enforcement officer. So we need.
You wouldn't underwrite them, let's say, to get a criminal justice degree.
We don't have that capability. Yeah, that'd be a lot of commitment. What we have done in the past, and we were hoping to get it up and running again, is our Explorer program, and so that gets kids in high school the opportunity to have experiences in law enforcement, see what it's about, see the different careers in law enforcement. They can stay in that, I believe, until they're 18, 19 years old, out of high school. Now they're in college. They still can volunteer for us, and there's this little short window where just keep your life straight. Turn 21 and come back to us. And we have a couple who went to corrections, went from the Explore program, went to corrections to get some experience. And now they're back with us, and they're very, they're great employees and great officers. And so there are avenues, I think, to get people into the department. It just takes time and programs to get them there.
You said went to corrections. What I heard, went into corrections. Oh. It's like, oh.
No. Want to be on the right side of the bar, not the left side. So.
Are there a lot of eye-opening moments when somebody, the youngsters or people who are unfamiliar, come in and they see how many non-sworns there are and what it takes really to run a police department? It's not, everybody isn't zipping around like the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's the support team.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of tours from all ages. But we make sure to tour the entire department, because you never know when you're going to spark interest with records, with evidence, with property, that kind of stuff. And so we show them the entire department, and they are, even the adults, the parents are surprised, just like, wow, this is all you have to run this. And we tell them everything we have to get done. And we're like, yeah, we do it with this crew. This is it. And we're able to make sure our mission is met.
Sorry, it doesn't get any better than this.
We could use a few more people. But.
Yeah, reality checks sometimes are a little bit more sobering than what people anticipate.
But it's incredible what a little education and sharing of information like that does to change the mindset of the community and
Yeah, it just, if it's done halfway good, it looks smooth.
Yeah.
And you just don't see what it takes to make that happen.
Absolutely.
You mentioned like evidence techs and folks like that. I would presume that they go through background checks just to the same as a sworn officer.
Every position in our department goes through some level of background check.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. Whatever your favorite letters are, it doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah. Just call me Brian.
Yeah. They call me Brian, too. Oh, shoot. So recruitment is one aspect of what the budget is and the impact of it. What about things like changing law? Are you sometimes that really significantly impacts? Sometimes not so much. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a lag period or a period of notification. Do you worry about that kind of stuff when you're putting things together to try to look and see? Because I think a lot of us, even if we think about budget, we think, okay, it's budget. Well, no, it's really a one-year plan for the department.
Yeah.
And what does it look like? And, yeah, there's the numbers, but here's the operational side, and here's some of the other things that we plan on doing during that 12-month window, more of a management guideline than it is just a financial guideline.
Yeah, changing the laws have cost us a lot of time. Unfortunately, we've not been given any opportunity from the federal government or state legislation, either any funds to help with some of the mandates that they put out there. So we have internal employees who manage those changes in laws and the reporting that's been required. At some point, it will become so overbearing that we will have to look at adding a position specific to some type of reporting or...
It's not the records request stuff, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, PRAs, SB 1421, doing the redaction of the reports.
What does the A part mean?
Public Records Act, yes. That's the whole...
Okay.
Yeah. Preparing all the cases that, you know, are being requested under those, the cases we're required by law now to submit SB 2 with the new requirements on law enforcement to, when the time there's a complaint, then submit those complaints to post for that internal review.
Where's the level on that? I don't like the color of your shoes. Okay, that one's probably not going to get too far.
There are certain classifications like bias, sex crimes, unlawful use of force, gangs, affiliation. There's like five or six right now that are at the top of the list that POST is really looking at. For the decertification process and the review of the complaints, there will be others I know that will come. But so there's an initial reporting. Once we get those complaints, we're required to send that in to them.
Does the complainant have to demonstrate some degree of accuracy?
Nope.
Or is it like, I know this is a simplification and probably most aren't going to make this jump across the river, but like the old timber harvest plans, if somebody wanted to protest a timber harvest plan, they file a report and that's it. And then the other side has to spend the time, effort, and energy to justify that. Is that kind of a parallel with this?
That's kind of the way it is. Anybody can file a complaint for any reason.
I could drive you. You could shut a department down.
It has caused a lot of extra work. You know, it's our job to be the best we can be. And sometimes complaints help us find areas where we can make improvements.
Well, sure.
But you're correct. There are other times where complaints are not, in the end, not valid. And we have spent a lot of time because by law, if somebody files a formal complaint, we're required to take that complaint and investigate it. The smallest of investigation can take a couple hours. some of the larger ones that even come back as unfounded or exonerated. So either it happened, but it was completely within policy, or it's unfounded in that this never happened at all, can be 40 pages long with all the attachments. By the time you do the interviews, you're looking at 40 to 80 hours of like desk time.
A week or two.
Yeah.
To do that. I can remember, and I don't know if you were on in the department when Jane Warnes was a city councilman.
No, I don't recall that.
She would, back when Bayshore Mall was kind of the happening place, she'd set up a table there. And a lot of the things that came across her table had already been looked at and reviewed. They didn't like the answer. So now it's coming in through a city council member.
Gotcha.
And you can't ignore that. So, I mean, it sounds like a lot of circular logic, potentially, and whether or not that's actually how it plays out.
Yeah.
But how do you, something like that, I mean, if it's a full-time position and you're just kind of chasing your tail, not actually finding something out.
So it was very time-consuming. It's still very time-consuming. We put a lot of that onto our sergeants and our commanders.
Oh, so it's a sworn that has to play with that, not somebody in the office.
Yeah, it's a sworn position right now. So we were behind, and we're still behind on a few, just because they have to work their normal 40-hour week, and I'll have to find time to investigate this. So,
is there a timeline on those?
There is. If there's no criminal proceedings attached to it, that's the only thing we really can stay an investigation for until the criminal proceeding is done. Otherwise, it needs to be done within 12 months. If there's going to be discipline issue, if it's unfounded and we're just riding, then if we're not worried about the discipline piece, then we still need to get it done in a timely fashion, because it's not healthy for the officers that are involved.
Well, you want it off the desk, too.
Yeah, and even if they know they did nothing wrong, the fact that it's lingering is
still there on the shoulder,
playing with their head. Yeah.
Is there a notification of the officers of the department, you know, when these things come through?
Yes.
So it's full knowledge?
They all come through the chief's office, whether they come in from the public through our front office to the chief's office, or whether they come through the independent police auditor that the city hired, that complaint comes to me, then to the chief's office, and then get it signed out from there. So,
what about this review committee? There's a right term for it, but whatever.
Yeah, the community oversight on police practices.
Sure, you betcha.
Or the IPA. I mean, there's two portions.
Sure. If it comes in through that channel.
Yeah, so then it gets on the liaison for the IPA, so it gets sent to me, and I share it with the chief, and then we decide what level of investigation. Is it something that we can write a memo for because there's...
Is it warranted?
Yeah, or is it something we need to investigate to the level of a full internal affairs investigation, which gets a number and the officer gets noticed and everything. That process starts at that point.
Does the body cam, has that helped to either reduce or at least to give you backup independent information to say, yeah, no, or hey, there may be something here?
Yeah, body cameras have been a godsend for our officers. Have they caught things they've done wrong? They have, and we've been able to use it for learning lessons.
Yeah, training.
The complaint comes in. Oh, yeah, you did it. It's right here on video. And we can take care of it, retrain it, discipline it, whatever we need to do.
Do you use that as routine training, also just spot check or review those?
There are times, yeah. We don't fish. I don't go and just sit down and start watching body camera video because that's just not what it's for.
It'd probably be boring as heck, too.
Yeah, but we do review all use of force reports that come in anytime we point a firearm at anyone. We review those pursuits. We review, so that does give us the opportunity to look at how those officers conducted themselves during those incidents. And hey, even something as simple as a felony car stop—that is something that's so routine but can be so complacent.
When you say felony, I don't think of routine. Typically,
well, I mean,
linked.
The training is, you know, you stand in your doors and you give commands, and for us, it's just one of those calls where you've been trained to do it, but. You find, you know, with like we do a lot of it on stolen cars because that's what it is, and there's a danger behind that. But you watch all these videos and like, yeah, we can tweak this a little bit, and then we'll take it back to the watch and say, hey, great job finding the car. Let's go over the felony car stop place a little bit. This is where you could have done this a little better. So there is a lot of positive training aspects that come from body cameras.
Well, I would think a lot of it could be risk reduction either for your guy or the citizen.
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Brian Stevens.
Artie and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Assistant Chief Brian Stevens from EPD. So as you guys are going through some of the processes and the reviews and the committees and the commissions and the community having input, when you find something that's goofy, not, you know, you don't go the wrong way on for two blocks to save yourself time. You know, I mean, something like that that is, you can walk somebody through, but you find something of significance. What happens?
The significant event is evaluated based on several factors. That could be, is there evidence to show that there's something to the complaint? Body cameras, we look at that first to say, okay, we have a problem, or there's something here. Is what happened to the level that the employee is not safe to be in the field anymore? Was the action something that could create liability for the city?
So it's a public safety thing as well as a legal illegal?
There's a lot that goes into what do we do? How's the best way to navigate the entire investigation process? From the employee standpoint, you know, they're not guilty until proven, you know, not guilty, but you know what I'm saying, they're not proven to be at fault for anything until we can prove it. But at the same time, there is a need to protect the public sometimes around certain events. And do we create more liability if we know something potentially has happened by allowing that employee back in the field to have those same interactions where it could happen again? Could we stop something from a second time to help save the employee and save anybody else from experiencing something that would cause another complaint? So there's a lot of factors that go into that initial decision.
And there's a timeline associated with that also. I mean, you got to move quick.
It's got to be, yeah, once we get to complaint, that's the first process the chief and I sit down and go through as far as what's the validity of the complaint, what evidence do we have already to show that something along that lines may have happened, and then what's the next step from there as far as the investigation goes.
How do you disprove or prove a negative? It didn't happen. It wasn't there. The accusation isn't.
Yeah, the body camera stuff.
How long do you search? Well, whether it's that or it's something that's off, you know, off hours, or I mean, just whatever it is. How do you get to the point of enough certainty where you say no?
Well, anything happens off hours, outside of the work preview or outside of like body camera, then it takes a lot more work to obviously. You're looking at witnesses. You're looking at. Just, you know, IP addresses sometimes from computers based on information we have to show where they were. I mean, but if it happened on duty and it's something that we have a body camera video for,
different ballgame.
Completely different ballgame. I can say within the amount of minutes probably that with some level of certainty that it did not happen.
Does HR out of City Hall get involved with those things, or is it a cop issue first and then it gets bumped up if there's validity?
Yeah, there have been a couple of cases that we've included HR immediately on, just to the nature of the complaints generally, and by practice they're kept in-house. We investigate them from an agency standpoint. HR is made aware that we're conducting certain investigations in-house, and there may be a certain level of discipline that comes from those. And then anything above a written reprimand, which is the first level of true discipline that the Police Officer Bill of Rights allows officers to have certain rights with, it's more than me just sitting down talking to you and giving you a piece of paper saying that, hey, we had a conversation, don't do this again. They review all discipline above that level prior to us giving it to the employee.
So as it becomes more significant?
Yes.
Or serious. Yeah. What about the non-sworns? I mean, I presume somebody could say, hey, so-and-so tampered evidence, lost something, didn't treat me properly.
Discourteous, yes. That's probably the biggest one.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you prove that one way or the other?
That is difficult. Some of our phone lines coming into dispatch are all recorded, so we can get those and sometimes disprove that pretty quick as well. Front office is a completely different animal, as we have cameras in our front office lobby area for safety reasons. We don't have audio on those cameras. So it's interviewing the complainant, it's interviewing the employee, interviewing any witnesses who would have overheard potentially the conversation. We have our most sensitive areas of the department are covered by camera. Property, evidence, those are key coded. There's only like four of us that have keys to get in there at all. So it's very controlled, otherwise you have to sign in. So we try to set some mechanisms in place to provide that extra level of security already. So if something is violated, then we can narrow it down to a very small pool of people.
Sounds like it's fun being a cop.
Yeah.
If somebody is interested, give you a shout.
For positions?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just flew a bunch of them. We're going through some background processes, so you never know how those are going to go of new employees. But yeah, please, if you're interested in any positions within the police department, yeah, give me a call, and I'll be happy to walk you through and introduce you to those that run those sections. And
that's AC Stevens.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right.
Thanks. See you everybody tomorrow.